light on, please? How many of you here are doing SRM? Really, less than 50%. How many of you here don't know what SRM is all about? Okay, we do have some visitors, yeah. Our church is going through a series called The Scriptural Roots of Ministry. The reason we are doing this is because we are planning for the future. And we feel that God has led us now to a crossroad where we need to really understand what we have been going through and what issues and problems that we are facing now and what are going to be the future problems and issues that we will be facing in future. So for us to do this, we are re-looking into the scripture to study the big themes of the Bible, to understand what God's will and purpose is for His creation, for us, and so that we can realign ourselves to God's plan and know where our role is, what our role is in the whole big picture, in the plan of God. And today we are at section 3. Yeah, section 3. And at the end of today's sermon, we are halfway through the SRM. We have started this a year ago, and we're going to continue for another year. So it is almost like a two-year program for the church, the Bible study. Yeah. And section 3 is about God's purpose for His creation. And there are 6 parts in section 3. Can you help me to remember what are the 6 parts in section 3? What's the first one? God's overarching plan, right? God's overarching plan. God actually has a plan, right? Isn't it comforting to know that God has a plan, right? And God's plan was established before even the creation of the world, the Bible tells us, right? So, what is part 2? Part 2 is creation. What is part 3? Part 3 is the unseen reality. And what is part 4? Part 4 is the fall. And part 5, God's working out of His plans, right? Also, God's redemption plan. And today, we are at... where is the remote control? Today, we are going to study part 6, which is the gospel. In part 1, which I also had the privilege to share, right? I talked about the overarching plan of God, right? God's plan spanned from before the creation, and then creation, and all the way to eternity. Right, so this is the whole big plan of God. And at the center of this plan is the gospel. The message of the gospel. And this is really the main point of God's whole story. You know, in a story, if you miss the main point, you miss everything. So today, this is a very important message. Because the gospel is the main point of God's story. And the Bible word for the gospel is evangelion. It's evangelion, and this word appeared 77 times in the Bible. I did not count, but this is according to Bible scholars, right? They have counted that this word appeared 77 times in the Bible. And sometimes it is used as a noun, Okay, a noun. The noun is a good message. The meaning of gospel is good message, good news. Yeah. And sometimes it is used as a verb. Preaching the good news. Preaching the good message. And in biblical context, evangelion, or this word good news, means the message of joy or the message of victory. For example, when we are in a situation of uncertainty, right? Uncertainty is hanging over our head. And suddenly we receive a news. And this news and this message gives us hope. Okay? And this is something like the good news, right? When we have uncertainty, we receive a news, we hear something that gives us hope, right? So this is something like the good news. And some months ago, I shared with you about this person who had also visited our church. His name is Pastor Shakti, right? And he, together with six other friends, were charged in court for distributing tracts to children in a village. Because in Nepal, there is a law that says you cannot convert a person from another religion to your religion. So they had evidence that he distributed the tracts to the people. And then they charged him in court. And for the last few months, he was very concerned, right? Because there is this thing that is hanging over his head. Because if he is convicted, he might get 7 years of jail. Just imagine the trauma and the fear he was in, you know? There's uncertainty over his head. And just a few weeks ago, they appeared in court and the judge actually said all the seven of them were acquitted. They were cleared of their charges. So to them, this is indeed a very good news. A very good news. But then, this news, right? This good news cannot be compared with the good news that the Bible talk about. Yes, it is a good news. But this good news is only probably limited to Pastor Shakti and the friends and the family members and perhaps the Christians in Nepal. Right? It's limited, this good news. But the good news that the Bible talk about, it's much more than that. It is more far-reaching than the good news that Pastor Shakti received. And according to John Piper, okay, very famous guy, right? Many of us read his books, John Piper's book. He said that the gospel is the highest, the best, the final decisive good. If there's a word called bestest, the gospel is the bestest news. It's the ultimate news. And because the gospel, this good news, affects everybody. It affects all humanity. It has far-reaching effects. And it bridges between life and death. It bridges between the unseen and the seen. And this is so powerful, so great. And when we read the Christmas story, right, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right, and we can read that this message was broadcasted in a very, very dramatic fashion. More Changi than CNN, right? And the story and this good news was proclaimed by the angels. How many of you have had an angel appear to you and proclaim a good news before? And it doesn't happen all the time. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, that the angels appeared to the shepherds while they were tending their flocks and proclaimed this message, this good news, this evangelion. to the people. Shall we all read this together? We read this together. 1, 2, 3. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And this good news caused great joy. The Bible says caused great joy to all people. Wow. What kind of news is that? The news that can cause great joy to all people. I don't know. I don't know whether, you know, all the people in the world were excited and received the message with great joy when Trump became the president. Nobody of you laugh, okay? So, what is this kind of news that can cause great joy to all people? And then the angel said, a person, a Savior, is born to you today. That Messiah. By the way, Messiah means deliverer. That long-awaited deliverer. When you're waiting for something for a long time, and then you hear the news, that's indeed a good news. The question is, to be delivered from what? To be delivered from what? And the message was proclaimed at that time to the shepherds in Israel. And to them, perhaps they want to be delivered from oppression, from foreign occupation, because they were being oppressed in many ways. Maybe have to pay exorbitant taxes, have to work very hard and give money to the rulers. Perhaps times was very hard, and for them, you know, it's like foreigners living in your land and are ruling over you. So for them, they feel the oppression, and to them, they are longing for a deliverer. And God sent them this message and said, today a Savior has come to deliver you from your oppression. But what about us today? What about us? What is good news to us today? Maybe in Malaysia, we're living in a place that's not so bad. We are not, I mean, we are being oppressed a little bit, yeah. But really not so bad, right? We can still cari makan, yeah. Yeah, but what does it mean to us, this good news? Yeah, I just was thinking about this, you know, and perhaps to a sick person, right, when you fall sick, right, the good news to you is that you get well, right? You know, people who are well, they don't really understand, you know, they really take advantage, you know, of their health. But wait until you really get sick, right? Then you will really understand, you know, what good health is to us, you know. So perhaps for a sick person, you know, the good news is to get well, you know. And to get well is really a hope fulfilled. And this good news actually is described by the Bible, okay, in so many different ways, right? if I'm going to ask each one of you here, what does the good news mean to you? Perhaps I will get one of the answers here, right? Maybe not. Okay, this list is not exhaustive, right? Perhaps I will get one answer or more answers from you. So the Bible describes the good news in so many different ways, right? That it's very hard for us to nail down what it is. But a lot of these words that appear here are actually the effects, okay? The effects of the gospel. And the gospel that was preached must be centered on a person. And this person is called Jesus Christ. It is the person and not the presence. It is the person and not the presence. And Mark, the author of the book of Mark, calls it the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is the gospel of God, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my brothers and sisters, the ultimate good news that the angel proclaimed is not so that those who believe can go to heaven. That's true. But the good news, the ultimate good news, is God Himself. It's not the fire insurance. We cannot embrace heaven without embracing Jesus. We cannot receive the gift without receiving the giver, because the gospel is a person of Jesus Christ Himself. Boleh faham tak? And my friends, David, I love David because he is so transparent. And how many of you are willing to share all your secrets and write it down in a book and share with everybody? But because of this man, today we are blessed. We can get to know God even deeper. And David, I believe he was a man that is very well advanced in his walk with God. You know, in our walk with God, we started as a baby. And then we walk with God. And we begin to know God more and more. And then we become advanced in our walk with God. But we will never arrive. But David, based on his writing, I can say that this man is really very well advanced in his walk with God. And in Psalm 27, let us turn to Psalm 27. I purposely don't want to put it up so that I want to make you all bring your Bible to church. Yeah. So let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 4, David said, one thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Is one thing that David seek. What is the one thing that we are seeking? And David tells us that he sought the presence of God in his life, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to behold his beauty. Just to enjoy God's presence. David understood that it is not the price, it is the presence. That's the gospel. It is not what the hand of God can give us, but it is God Himself. God gave His presence to be with us. This is the good news of the gospel. And this is what Apostle Paul said when he had found Jesus. He said, I consider everything a loss. My credentials, who I was before I found Jesus, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and I consider them garbage. Garbage. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him. What a word. I'm sure Paul did much better in terms of his accomplishments than many of us here. But when he had found Jesus, he said, all these are nothing, nothing compared to Christ. The pearl merchant understood this. I know it's a parable, but Jesus described it so well that this man, he was searching all around the world looking for the prized pearl. That when he had found this, he gave up everything. He stole everything just to obtain this pearl. And my brothers and sisters, this pearl is the presence of God. This pearl is Jesus. And this is how precious is. How precious our Lord is. May I humbly ask you, my brothers and sisters, what are the things that you pursue in life? Do we love only the presence from God and do not love His presence? Do we always come to God and pray, God, this whole list of things, I'm not saying this is wrong, but I'm saying that are we looking for the presence or the presence of God? You know, in John chapter 6, there's this story that Jesus was doing miracles. He was doing all the great things. You know, he became very popular. Many followed him. And then he began to teach them. And some of them think that he was cuckoo, you see. He taught them to drink blood and eat flesh and all that. So the people thought, this guy is crazy. His teaching is crazy. And then many of them turned back. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples. Now, you do not want to leave me, do you? And what did the disciples answer? The disciples answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. What an answer. The disciples understood that it is not the presence, it is the presence. It is not the price, it is the presence of God. To whom shall we go? Where else can we go if it is not Jesus? You know, every time before I preach, I tell myself, don't preach too long. make your sermon to be within 30 minutes. Because more than 30 minutes, people will go to sleep. I think today I'm going to fail. Okay, let's see. Yeah. The question to you is, church, is God enough for you? Think about it for a moment. Is God enough for us? I know in our hearts we seek God for many things. We want this, we want this, we want this, we want this. What if God does not choose to give you perishable things? But God has chosen to give you Himself instead, giving Himself to us freely. The question is God enough for us? Is His presence enough for us? Very tough question. As I was preparing this message, I was pondering about these thoughts of what does good news mean? I know what the good news mean to me, but what does the good news mean to people outside the church? I know the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 that the gospel to those who are perishing is like a stench in the nostril. But to some, it's like an aroma because it brings life to them. And the Bible tells us that not everybody will be welcoming the good news. But I really believe that the good news is good for all humanity. Like what I said earlier, this good news is for everyone here and everyone outside the church. And for all the race in the world. It's for everybody. But how is it a good news to people outside the church? We understand all the Christian lingo is salvation, is peace with God, is justified. All this we understand. Right? But how is it a good news to people outside the church? Especially Sister Cheng's family. How does the good news look like to Sister Cheng's family? They are pre-believers. And when Sister Cheng was suffering from cancer, I could feel that the family members are just looking to see whether Jesus could heal her. And over here we are praying so desperately, God, you must heal her, heal her. Because there is so much for her in her life that, you know, it's better for her to be alive. But God chose to take her away. I didn't understand. I prayed for Cheng a lot. And even to the last minute, I asked God to heal her, give her a miracle. But God chose to take her life. And I know for sure that if God wanted to heal her, He could have healed her. There is nothing impossible for God. He could heal her. But why did God choose to take her away? Why? In life, there are just so many whys, so many unanswered questions, mysteries. You know, church, God didn't answer Job's why. He went through terrible suffering. And God didn't answer his why. So many sufferings in this world. So many whys, and God didn't answer. How do we deal with this? And I know for sure that God, if he wants to do something, it gets done. There is nothing too difficult for God. And God could have chose to solve the sin problem in the world by just pressing the reset button. Everything gets reset. But God didn't do that. God chose to send his one and only Son to the earth to die, to suffer, to be subjected to injustice, to become the partaker of suffering together with all of us. God didn't press the reset button. But God offered himself, his abiding presence, to come into our lives and walk with us and suffer with us and carrying us. And this is what he said. He said, I will be with you until the end of the age. I will give you my presence. I will be with you. Now, I was thinking, how is this relevant to Cheng's family? How is this relevant? They don't even know God. They don't even feel God's presence. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their heart. How is this relevant to them? And as I was thinking about this, God just enlightened me and saying that all of you represent my presence. When you bring Cheng from his house to the hospital for treatment, that is where the presence of God is at work. When she was suffering and we went to her bedside and cried together with her and pray for her and read the scriptures to her, that is the presence of God. Because my brothers and sisters, we are the hands and the feet and the mouth of God. God touches the world through us because he has put his precious presence, his Holy Spirit into us, that we may be able to touch the world. We offer the Lord's presence. Cheng's family didn't say many words. During the wake service, the brother said, thank you. Thank you in tears. And that itself says a lot that they have been touched by the presence of God because of God's people. And that is bringing the good news in a tangible way to people who do not know Christ. Now, what is Christmas? What is Christmas? How is the gospel related to Christmas? And this can be summarized in the passage that I read to you this morning from Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. The meaning of the gospel is God with us. It is Emmanuel. It is God. God chose to give us His presence. And this is the message of Christmas. And this is how I want to end my message today. I want us to just stand up and read this story again and reflect on what the gospel really means to us. As we read this, we will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Can we all stand as we read this in our closing? I want to invite the worship team to come. And the song that Sujan chose today is really very apt for today's message. The song written by Don Moen, it says, God with us, Emmanuel has come. And after we finish reading this, we will end by just singing this song as a reflection, as a worship to our God. Let us read this together. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let us sing the song.
Christmas is a gift of love our Father gave us. More than just another story about a special time and place. Christmas is the time to live a song of praise. For God is with us, and we celebrate the glory of His presence. Christ has come to fill our hearts with love. He came to save us. King of kings and Lord of lords, His name is Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel. Christmas is a gift of love our Father gave us. one is just another story about a special time and place.
Christmas is the time to lift a song of praise.
Come on,
God with us.
God is with us, and we celebrate the glory of His presence.
Christ has come to fill our hearts with love.
Lift up your hands and let me just pray for you, church. Emmanuel has come. God with us. Your presence, Lord, you have given us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let us walk out of this place. Have a fresh understanding, O God, of the embrace of your presence, Lord. That, Lord, we will not just seek what your hand gives, but we will seek the giver. That we will seek your presence, O God. That, Lord, we will say that, Lord, your presence is enough, O God. That, Lord, we will seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and we will put this as the priority of our lives. Father, each one here, I pray, O God, for a touch of your Holy Spirit upon your people right now, God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 just a fresh touch from your Holy Spirit. Just ignite the hearts of your people. Just quicken the hearts. Father, the hearts that are dry and thirsty, I speak against it in the name of Jesus. That it will come alive. That it will burst forth with like a living water that is gushing through the hearts of God. That, Father, the Spirit of God, your Spirit, O God, will be poured upon the hearts of the people today, O Father, in a fresh way, Jesus. O Father, anoint your people. Pour out your Spirit, O God, into every heart, O God, in this place. Pour out a fresh, O God, your Holy Spirit, I pray. O Jesus, Jesus, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, O God. Let there be a wind, O God. The message of victory in our lives. Let it be experienced deep in our hearts, O God. That it will not, O Father, be a mundane thing, Father.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Oh,
fresh touch from your Holy Spirit. Quicken my heart, O God. Quicken my heart. Quicken my heart, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Yes, Lord. Lord, we want to go deeper, deeper, Lord. Deeper, oh God, we embrace your presence. We embrace your presence, Lord. Drink it in,
oh,
drink
let your
it
river
in.
Flow.
Oh, drink it in.
Let your river flow.
Oh, come, all you who are thirsty.
River
come,
flow.
Come to the spring of living water. Come and drink, drink of the Lord.
Come,
drink,
Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Drink it in.
And all who are weak, come to the fountain. Deep your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. Mercy as deep cries out to thee, receive, come, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord,
worship the Lord. All who are weak, come to the fountain. Deep your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. Be washed away in the streams of His mercy. As deep cries out to thee, receive, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Your presence is what we want here. Your presence is what we need. We yearn, we call, we ask, we seek your face, O God. We, your church, come here today. We want more of you. We want more of your spirit, more of your life. Empower us to know you. We want more. We want more. We want more. More of your presence.
To pray for some of you here. You are experiencing dryness, that you do not have any more joy in your walk with God, and you are just wondering what's happening to you. My friends, this is not normal. You are made, you are saved to enjoy God's presence in your life every day. That sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit is yours. That's your inheritance. That's the promise of God. But today, if you have come to this place and you are experiencing this spiritual dryness, I want to call the elders of the church to pray with you, to pray for you, that you will experience God afresh. I want to invite you to come. I want to ask Raymond to sing one last time. And for those of you who do not need prayer, and this is the end of the service, and thank you for joining us. And please be reminded that we have a Christmas lunch next week. Yeah. And for those who want to continue to worship God in this place, you are welcome to stay. Right, God bless you.